SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in another hour here of Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you hanging with us here on this very first Friday of February. That's right, February the 2nd, getting ready for a huge weekend in college basketball. But we've got plenty of NBA action set here tonight. Opening tip here in just a couple of minutes. Now would be a perfect time for a same-game parlay. And who better than our man, Davis Matic? Davis, what do you got for us tonight in the NBA?
All right, guys, we are back for another same-game parlay over on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We did book a winner last night. We are going to try and book another winner tonight. The two teams we've really been riding all week, the Phoenix Suns and the New York Knicks, we are going to go back to the Phoenix Suns tonight. They are traveling to play at Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks. Super high total. Should be a pretty fun game. We're taking the Suns on this one. They are 3.5-point favorites on the spread, coming off a big win against the Nets. Huge win against Heat. They did get absolutely smoked by the Magic not that long ago, but they are almost, they're actually honestly really fully healthy if and when they get Damian Lee back. So I'm really riding the Suns right now. They are up to 28-20. We are also going to take the over on 248.5 in this game. The Suns take quite a few 2-point shots, but they make a really high rate of their 3-point shots, and they're pretty league average at defense. I think we could see some fun back and forth in this one. And then, of course, you guys already know, every time you take the Suns, you got to take one of Booker or Durant to score a bunch of points. Tonight, we are going to take Devin Booker. He's got that amazing defensive matchup with Trae Young. We're going to take him to score 30 or more points. So we have the Suns -3.5. Over 248.5, and Devin Booker to record 30 or more points, and that is going to give us a +422 same-game parlay on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Good luck tonight, everybody.
All right, great stuff, Davis. Thank you so very much. And yes, NBA opening tip here happening in Detroit with the Clippers getting ready to take on the Detroit Pistons. And the Clippers have decided they are just simply going to go scorched earth as much as they possibly can here. They're 3-1 on their current 7-game road trip here. And they are the worst team, Detroit. So what does that mean? Well, it means they're laying a dozen here, the Clippers. But they have won 14 of their last 17 games. And because of that sluggish start, and don't forget, they had to go get Harden, which seems like a million miles ago and 100 years ago. But don't forget, it wasn't all puppy dogs and rainbows when Harden first got there. There was a lot of question marks surrounding this team. But boy, oh boy, that lasted maybe about 10 days before the Clippers figured out that Kawhi Leonard was on this team. And more importantly, a very healthy Kawhi Leonard has really changed the direction of this Clippers team. Again, 14 of its last 17. They are now within an earshot of the top spot in the Western Conference, which is huge for them. And you want to know how it's working, why it's working so well? And if you hadn't been paying attention, it's because nobody's talking about James Harden. Isn't that amazing? When James Harden is not a headline or a topic of conversation in the national media anywhere, then there's one thing we know for sure. A, he's either hurt and nowhere near the team, or in some strange situation that the chemistry and the communication among the guys on his team is actually pretty darn good. So give Ty Lue all the credit in the world for helping bring these guys together. It's not because they have a shortage of talent. This was never about whether or not the Clippers could be good enough to make a run at a championship. No. It was about whether or not they could sustain, Harden, and when things don't go well, because he tends to turn into a cancer in the locker room. That has not happened here. But again, still a lot of games to go. But they are the healthiest they have been. And when they are winning games, they look unbeatable. And I think all of it centers around the fact that Kawhi Leonard is just an absolute beast coming off a game. 31 points, 9 boards, 4 assists, 4 steals in that win over Washington a couple of nights ago, 125-109. Again, think about that line and how Kawhi Leonard this is. 31, 9, 4, and 4 steals. That is Kawhi Leonard basketball. He's averaging 23, 7, and 4, along with 2 steals and almost 2 blocks during the month of January. So with Kawhi Leonard healthy and playing that kind of basketball, this is going to be a very, very difficult team to overtake here. So while they're on their way to taking that top spot, you know, keep in mind, there are champs in the Western Conference here, and that's going to be the Denver Nuggets also in action here tonight. They are the late game, and they're taking on, boy, oh boy, that upstart Trailblazers team. Can you guys believe how the Trailblazers are actually been a pretty decent cash cow here, especially if you've been playing them, taking as many points as the market wants to give them. This team also very young, very talented, but they are starting to figure it out. So I think they are a fun team. I think they are very much like what OKC was over the last couple of seasons, where the market knew they were talented, they were young. SGA, Lou Dort, these guys were always good, but they're going to lose way more games. They got to learn to win, yada, yada, yada. Well, that's kind of what Portland feels like. And if you noticed how good OKC is this year, when you have that kind of talent that you've amassed, it does not take a decade. You don't have to believe in the process for 12 years like you had to in Philadelphia. And P.S., has that working out for Philadelphia here, is now they're going to have to do what they did last night and try to win as many games without Embiid for the foreseeable future. Good luck with that. But the reality is Portland is a play-on team for me, especially when they play teams like Denver, in which the market is completely overinflated here. 12.5, 13 points in this one. Denver got a little bit of a worry there with Jokic, who should be back for this game. He did sit out with lower back pain there in their last game, but this is entirely too many points. Now, Denver should win, no problem, but keep an eye on Portland. There are going to be opportunities to back this team and get great numbers. This is a pretty good team, and the more they win, the more confidence they get. The more of a problem they're going to be for teams like Denver and the Clippers and others. So much more to go here, though. College hoops also underway. We'll talk about it next year on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on The Grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. In game time decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Plenty to look forward to this weekend with no football on tap here. We got one more week, one more game, and we'll talk some NFL here. But there's a few other things going on this weekend in which we can cash some tickets. And I will start by heading to Pebble Beach, and nobody better to cash tickets with on the golf course. Then Brady Cannon stepping in here, my friend. Now, listen, Brady, I don't know what's going on right now, but this tournament at Pebble Beach, I've got it on one of the monitors, and I know entirely too many names on this leaderboard. We have had 4 events, Brady, 4 events in 2024, and every one of them has been triple digits here. What in the hell? It doesn't look like we're going to get that here, or I guess the weekend can bring us anything.
Well, maybe Thomas Dietrich, you know, he was in the mix. He had the 53-hole lead last year, or last week at Torrey Pines, and then made a double bogey on the 18th hole, and he never came back from that. Well, he's bouncing back this week in a big way, tied there at the top with Ludwig Hebert and Scottie Scheffler. You know what's very interesting about Scheffler? I was just looking at this before we came on, Joe. And I didn't like Scheffler this week. I didn't like Rory or Scheffler because I didn't think this golf course really fit what they do or do not do well. Rory's real strength is his driving of the golf ball. And you can't overpower Pebble Beach with the driver. You kind of have to take off some distance, hit three woods, lay up. It's a shorter course. So I didn't think, you know, taking away his greatest strength was going to work here this week. And then Scottie Scheffler, one thing I thought you needed to do really well here at Pebble is putt. And Scheffler can't putt, right? So I laid off those two guys. Well, I look at the stats. Scottie Scheffler is currently seventh in the field for strokes gained putting. He's gaining over 2.5 strokes on the field. Maybe Poana is his surface or something, but boy, I mean, if this guy continues with a hot putter, look out for the rest of the year. I mean, we know what he did last year as a ball striker. Boy, if he's found the putting stroke. I tell you, I played six guys this week, and I'm feeling very good. I've got five of them, rather, in the top 21 going into the weekend. I've got Bo Hostler sitting inside the top 10, Sam Burns inside the top 10, Christian Bezuidenhout, Denny McCarthy, and Alex Noren, all there between, I believe, 16th and 21st. Ben Ahn was the only guy, he's at one under par. He's the only guy I took on the outright pre-tournament that hasn't gotten off to a good start here. You know, one of the things I like to do, Joe, at this point in a tournament, normally we have a cut. This is a no-cut event, so the full field going a couple more days here. Tomorrow looks like you're going to be able to get the golf course. You might have some light rain. They might have some rain not until golf is over with, but the course is going to be soft, very little wind, under 10 miles an hour. So moving day will truly be moving day. I believe you're going to see some scores on Saturday. But I don't know if I necessarily recommend making a wager at this point, Joe, because check the forecast for Carmel, California on Sunday. 35 mile an hour winds, and that's just what the forecast says. I mean, that could be gusts of 50. Who knows? Pebble's going to be nuts on Sunday, and who knows what's going to happen, you know, when they turn that hairdryer on and it just blows everybody off the golf course for 4.5-5 hours. That's going to be interesting. You might wait and do some in-game wagering on Sunday, you know, when you have a look at what that weather's doing to everybody. And maybe it's a guy that goes out early and is able to shoot even par. Who knows what's going to happen? That Sunday's going to be crazy. So I'm not getting involved at the halfway point here.
So it's interesting, too, because I watched Scheffler miss a couple of very makeable putts. Could have went even lower than what he was here today. But this is now the 8th 36-hole lead or co-lead for Scheffler on tour in the last three seasons. Nobody else over that time has had more than three. This is his 8th, where we're heading into the weekend, and he's on top of the board. And we've been asking in the first four tournaments, like, where is Scheffler? Like, I'm not – what's going on? Can he figure out the putting? Wouldn't be shocked if he's the guy that's holding up the trophy, because even if the conditions deteriorate, he is a guy we can trust to be able to get it done, is he not?
Oh, no, absolutely. He's a winner, and we saw last year, you know, the guy wins tough events, too. I think it was two elevated events. They call them signature events now. I think it was two signature events that he won last year. I know one was the Phoenix Open coming up next week. Of course, if you remember, he won on Super Bowl Sunday. And I believe there was another one in there. I want to say not Bay Hill, but I'm pretty sure. Oh, the Players Championship, I believe he won.
Players, yeah.
Maybe the very most elevated event, arguably the best field in all of golf. So, no, the guy not only wins, but he does it against the very best competition. It's going to be, and you know, he's a Texas guy too. When I'm trying to find guys that can play well in the wind, I like guys that play from, or, you know, that come from Texas, played at the University of Texas. He's been in plenty of windy conditions in his career, has Scottie Scheffler. He's going to be the odds-on favorite. I shouldn't say odds-on. He'll probably be at a short plus price. Who knows, maybe 3-1 to win this thing. You've got a full field of golfers left, which is a lot, in a lot of ways the same number of golfers you'd have heading into a normal weekend anyway, but you've got the studs this time around. You know, there's definitely some big names breathing down his neck. So I think you'll be able to get a pretty decent price on Scotty. The one thing though is you're paying for what we've just talked about. You're paying for, you know, the number one player in the world. You're playing for that name. You're playing for a guys that won signature events in the past. So the price will probably be beat up a little bit, but it still might be a valuable price given who this guy is and the way the putter's going right now.
Yeah, well, listen, I don't want to hear it. You've already had 4 triple-digit winners, so, you bet. Yeah. It's time that, you guys did a great job. We appreciate you, no names. But now it is time to move over. I can tell you, I've been pretty impressed with JT from what I've seen so far here. I think the putter cooperates, I don't think ball striking, he is absolutely crushing it here. It's always been hit or miss. We were wondering when will JT be back? It looks like he's on his way back, at least early on here so far.
I totally agree with you, Joe. Justin Thomas took some sharp action to win this tournament this week. And I don't have the leaderboard in front of me, but I don't think he's too far back. He's what, maybe 3 shots off the pace or so? Last time I looked, I think he was at 8 under or something like that. No, he's just fine. And to your point,
9 under, he finished 9.
Okay, good. So he's only 2 back. Yeah, you know, he's another guy that there's a lot of guys I think you can make a case for. I just don't know if I want to get involved with the way that wind is going to blow on Sunday, because that all hell breaks loose. So, you know, if I'm going to get involved here in game, I'd probably wait until Sunday and just kind of see what kind of tricks that wind is playing on everybody. But you're absolutely right about Thomas. And it's funny that you bring him up, because I want to say it was about 4 weeks ago. I don't know if it was before the season started or maybe after Kapalua, where he played pretty well as well. I made a Masters future on Justin Thomas. The only bet so far to win the Masters is Justin Thomas, and I think it's a pretty good number at 34-1. I have not seen anything that high. I mean, you talk about a player. I have a thing for the Masters, Joe. If I see Jordan Spieth at 25, automatic. He is a Masters whisperer. I think the best I've seen is 20. If I see him go to 25, I'll grab it. Justin Thomas at 34, I thought that was, you know, a similar type move. That guy's too talented to be at that number, in my opinion.
The only tournament, Brady, I don't know how to quantify experience and guys like Spieth and I don't know how to quantify it, but I just know as long as they're there, they got a chance to win. Cannon coming up next here on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Joe Ranieri alongside Brady Cannon here as we've been talking some golf as Pebble Beach. I will say one last thing here, Brady, before we dive into the NFL. I watched Josh Allen do an interview after he finally beat Tom Brady at something, I think, in the Pro-Am, Josh Allen. And I love this about the guy is that everything that came out of his mouth centered around, they kept trying to say, "Oh, how do you love the tournament?" He's like, "Yeah, no, it's a really nice tournament, but I don't want to be here. Like, I hope I'm not here next year. There is nothing about it." So he's trying to be so complimentary about, you know, it's a beautiful tournament. And all he kept saying was, "I don't want to be here. Like, I love you guys, but I don't want to be here next year. I don't want to play in it again."
That's the worst invitation a football player can get, right? Hey, we'd love for you to come to Pebble. Oh, no. I don't want to.
Yeah, no.
Thanks, but
great
no thanks.
Tournament. But I don't want to be here ever again. So
that's
I thought
great.
That was hilarious. Absolutely yeah. hilarious interview. But we did mention it earlier. We know this line, Kansas City, 2.5-point dog. I think San Francisco opened up briefly at that 2.5. We didn't last long. We saw, obviously, the Chiefs' money come rolling back in. But now we're starting to see it swing the other way back towards San Francisco. So back to 2.5 in spots here. Where does this go, do you think, here, ultimately? Obviously, I don't think it's ever going to hit 3, but where do you think ultimately this lands before kickoff next Sunday?
Yeah, Joe, I don't think we're going to ever see 3 again. And we really didn't see 3. It was a look ahead line. You know, they had some possible matchups when we were heading into the, you know, championship weekend, and San Francisco was laying 3 against the Chiefs, and a lot of sharp guys gobbled that up. And then they gobbled up the 2.5 when it opened up on Monday morning or Sunday night or whatever it was. After those championship games concluded, and it was just, you know, a one-way street. It was all Kansas City all the way down to Niners -1. And then it was about a day or two later, not that long after, that we saw it jump back up. And you talk about 2.5, that was at FanDuel. And, you know, interesting, FanDuel was the last shop that I saw that had 1.5. Yesterday, everybody was 2. They still had 1.5. And then all of a sudden today, they're one of the very few 2.5. So a big jump there at FanDuel. But I think it's probably going to toggle between 2 and 1.5, Joe. I don't think we're going to see 3. Maybe we'll see 1 shortly because, and I've been patient in my betting here. I really am dying to hit submit. I want to get in on this game, but I'm going to wait. And when the influx of fans come to Las Vegas and everybody starts plopping their bets down, I think the public, and I think some sharps at the right number are obviously on KC as well, but the public's going to roll in here, and no matter what the number is, I think they're going to bet Kansas City, and they're going to bet Kansas City on the money line as well. And that's when I think if I can find, you know, 120 or maybe I'll even get better on the money line on San Francisco, that's when I might jump on them. And I tell you, Joe, the more I think about this game, I might not even play a side. I might just get involved in props. I mean, of course I could see San Francisco winning. Of course I could see Kansas City winning. You know, you talk about the San Francisco defense, and they have been a little bit exposed, really, the latter half of the season. Ever since they lost Talanoa Hoafanga, that safety, their defense has slowly been sliding. And through the playoffs, they are now 14th in EPA per play. But the offenses that they've faced are better than Kansas City. Green Bay, you know, including the playoffs, was 4th in EPA per play. Detroit was 6th. Kansas City is 10th. So maybe that defense will have a little bit easier time. It could be minor, but it might make the difference. If the San Francisco defense shows up, it could possibly be the key to the game. The other thing is, I mean, if they learned anything from the Ravens game, my goodness, run the ball, Kyle Shanahan. And you know that's what he's going to want to do anyway. I mean, he's got Elijah Mitchell. He's got McCaffrey. He's got Juszczyk. He's got Debo. I mean, I think a game plan for Kyle Shanahan is to get real creative with the running game because it's been that way for years in the Patrick Mahomes era. The way you beat Kansas City, they've never been great at defending the run.
Yeah. No, and it's a fascinating the market is going here, and I'm with you. I don't think the 49ers are going to get a whole lot of public support. I do think the Chiefs will be all public in this one. Doesn't mean, you know, listen, I still think it's a coin flip game one way or the other, but I think you nailed it. To me, the 49ers issue has been the fact that defensive front of theirs has been beat in both games by Green Bay and by Detroit. They're not a big blitzing team. They need those four guys. They need Bosa. They need all those guys there to be able to deliver and put pressure. Because don't forget, getting Jared Goff off the point is that's what you want to do there, but he still beats you. You get Mahomes off point, he's going to absolutely destroy you in the secondary. So they have to make life miserable for him. And if they can't do that, then it feels like Kansas City is going to score 23, 24 points, and they're going to have a 2-1 possession in time of possession, and the game's over. How much does this defense, ironically enough, I don't think the offense, I'm not worried about 49er offense. Can right. that defense beat this offensive front, the offensive linemen of Kansas City?
Yeah, it's a major question of this ball game, and they're going to have to be at least competitive in that matchup in order to stay in this game. Now, the Kansas City offensive line is very good. You got Tooney, you know, who's a little banged up, but I think by the time they kick off next week, he should be okay. I think he's going to play in this game. I think he was, you know, maybe between questionable and doubtful last week.
Right.
I think he should be okay to play this week, and that's a big deal. You know, throughout the majority of the season, Kansas City was number one in pass protection. Now, you know, they're relatively average, if not below average, in run blocking and run stopping, and you know that. But as far as the line of scrimmage and pass protection, they're about the best in the game. So that is going to be a huge challenge for San Francisco. They have all kinds of talent on that defensive line. I think Chase Young has been a little bit of a disappointment. You know, he was really embarrassed, some of the video that they showed of him last week. And maybe that's what he needs to come up with a big game. I think Nick Bosa's been fine. You know, Eric Armstead, Javon Hargrave, those guys are getting pressures. It's not always ending in a sack, but they're getting pressures, and they're going to have to do a lot of that. It kind of goes back to the old New York Giants and beating Tom Brady and the Patriots. If we can pressure him, we can win, and that's what they did. I think it's very similar. And I'm with you, Joe. I don't worry about their offense. KC's defense is very good, but San Francisco is going to find a way to score. They're the number one offense in football.
Yeah, and the one bet I have made is just give me the over in the first half, because those adjustments will come in the second half. And boy,
might go 0-0 in the second half.
Would not shock me at all here, especially if both can run the ball. It's going to become a rock fight there. But I do think the scoring is going to happen early again. How about the, you're in Vegas there, Brady. The props were released with great fanfare, all 9 trillion of them here. What are you looking at in the prop world? Anything in particular?
Yeah, the Westgate Superbuck just had their big release on Thursday night. That's always a fun occasion. I was actually down there at the Westgate. I had a friend in town. We didn't go to the big prop party, but, you know, picked up a sheet for further research, of course. But, you know, I think, you know, a few popular ones that are always good is, you know, will there be a touchdown under 1.5 yards? You know, that typically comes through. You've got, will there be 3 straight scores by either team? You know, that typically comes through. I think I like, you know, the way this game is lined kind of lends itself to this prop is, will the game be tied again after 0-0? I think that's a yes. I think we'll probably have another tie after the beginning of the game in this contest. I think it's interesting, Joe, to look at the total. Bill Vinovich is going to referee, his crew is going to referee this game. Yeah. I think he's probably the best in the business. And he has the reputation, especially in the playoffs, of letting the guys play. And he calls the least amount of holding calls. You know, holding calls kill drives. You're probably going to have less punts. You know, if he's true to form here and they keep this thing clean without a lot of yellow hankies being thrown around, I think that lends itself to the game going over the total. Now, you like the over in the first half, and I agree with you there. And we know the Chiefs are famous for not scoring a lick. And I mean, how many, what are they, 14 and 2 to the under or something like that in the second half?
Exactly.
But Vinovich's style, and this number is relatively low for a Super Bowl at 47.5. Mm. Maybe the game goes over the total with the nature of that refereeing crew.
Well, it certainly depends on it's all about pass interference and the defensive pass interference, defensive holding.
That helps the touchdown at 1.5
guys,
yards too.
Right.
Right.
You're letting them hand check all day long.
Right.
That's Then it's going to be mano a mano. Do we trust Debo to get away with it more than the secondary of Kansas City, or vice versa? It's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. But still a week away before the bets can be in there, before kickoff. So we'll have much more on this, much more golf also. And Brady, we'll talk to you again. Looking forward to it, my man. GTD returns next on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome in now. Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, and we are off and running on the hardwood here as we've got a couple of NBA games underway. A few more get ready to start top of the hour, and that is the point in which Dave Sharapan will be jumping in. Matty Peralta, they will have you here for in-game live primetime. He steps in now as if I was him, I'd be trying to get the hell out of Vegas as soon as possible because the craziness, you're still a couple of days out from the craziness there, Dave. But as long as you stay away from the Strip, you should be okay, right? I mean, they're not going out to Green Valley, right? Or are they?
What time am I picking you up? That's all I need to know. What time am I picking you up?
I'll be there tomorrow morning, so don't worry. I'll text you in there. Are you starting to see it? Are people starting to show up already in Vegas?
Oh, yeah. No, it's been we're going to meet some people tonight after the show. They're down at the Venetian. Everybody's starting to get here. It's been raining for a day. Today's high was like 48. It's been cloudy, and it's going to be kind of overcast and stuff for a couple days. Otherwise, so people thinking they're coming out and hanging out by the pool, they ain't hanging out by the pool.
Nope.
There's none of that. No. Coming tomorrow. Everybody, a couple other people are coming tonight. They're here already. The rest of the crew tomorrow. I'll get the van cleaned up. We'll pick you up. We'll take you right to the hotel. That'll be good. The signage is happening all over. Sign is happening. There's signs everywhere. They turned the Luxor into a big Dorito chip. Parking lots that I'm used to going
to.
Did
they really?
Yes, it's a big Dorito chip. The Luxor is a big Dorito chip. The signage, well, I saw it last year in Arizona. I saw it the first time in L.A., but they didn't do it as much because L.A. was so spread out. The Strip is 3 miles long. It's all right there. And it's insane. So with their, you know, the NFL experience, everybody put up their props. Yesterday, I was down at the Westgate, and it's like a family reunion in a weird way. Yeah. Where everybody comes in and, you know, two dimes a pop. Yeah,
it's just fitting the Super Bowl be in Vegas. It really is. Let me ask you this then. How many people have you come across that are there excited about the new baseball team coming? I mean, you got to have a big Oakland A's fan. No, nothing. Kind of signage. No, nobody's talking.
No signage for that. No, it's all. It's ironic because it's a lot of the sports books that aren't here in town that have to sign. You know, the FanDuel sides and the DraftKings sides, and you go, that's one of the big things when you come to Vegas and you have all these apps available. You get here and you don't have a lot of the big name apps. So, one, you have to go in person and sign up in person. Vegas still has in person registration. Now, once you do, you can load up your app and do all that stuff on your mobile. But you have to do that.
What's the sphere like? Now, what is that? What do they turn that giant ball into when you're flying in there?
It's different team emblems. You see different San Francisco 49ers, you know, things. Then you see Kansas City Chiefs things. Last night, I got a text from someone. It was a George Kittle cartoon face with the face mask and the helmet. Yeah, so they're taking different players. I haven't seen the Mahomes or Kelce one yet. I'm sure we'll see more Travis Kelce stuff. Yeah. So It's nuts, man. People have been coming to Vegas for 30 years. You've been here for the Super Bowl. You've seen it.
Yep.
It's been a big party. Crazy. And Vegas does it as good. We had Chris Andrews on Bostonian versus the Book today. He said there's always been two Super Bowls, wherever they're playing it and Las Vegas.
Vegas.
Now
always.
We combine the two. And everybody's here. There's a media row. There's shows.
Yep.
They're going to walk across the bridge, go to the game, and come back. I can't wait to see how it works. The Jets are coming in. The bags are coming in with cash. Yep. They've been laying the Niners money all week this week when it went down.
Crazy.
I don't know. It's going to be – prop handle is going to be through the roof, I think. This will be the year
absolutely.
That it will just explode here. Yeah, right? It has to.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Now, I didn't think I don't – it's – you know, we saw the 2.5 at the open. Kansas City got all the money. Now, like you said, we're starting to see all the 49er money. I don't see it going to 3, which is really the only number if we were looking to get the best of it, we'd want to jump in. I don't think it's going to get there. So I don't really think there's a need one way or the other to maybe it just pays to wait because it's not going to get to 3, right?
I would be beyond shocked. Like I'm talking, somebody better come in with a 7-figure wager on the Niners to jump it up to 3. But I think more likely than not, the way it's going, they got the 2-way they need now at 2, 2.5.
Right.
If you go to correct. 3, you run the risk of getting sided on a game. You can't get sided on a Super Bowl. That may be a exit from the industry if you get sided on the Super Bowl. There's problems. You don't need problems
huge
right now.
Problems. So, huge problems.
We don't want to get sided on the bowl. The total's interesting. I think you're getting good 2-way on the total. I expected the total to move more by this time. And at 47.5, I think the books have found a sweet spot between 47 and 47.5. So teasers are working. Money lines are working. Over-unders are working. And props. And the other thing you got to realize in Vegas is that we don't do the Gatorade color. We don't do. You know, is anybody getting engaged after the game? Yes.
Oh, please, no. Yes.
No.
Yes.
We're not doing any of that stuff. No.
No self-respecting would ever throw that out there and expect there to be any handle on it, though. But what are you expecting, Dave, you think, when the bulk of the fans get into Vegas here? I would imagine I don't see the public spending an awful lot of money backing the 49ers. I think it's probably going to be a whole lot of Kansas City money. Enough Kansas City money to move it back maybe under 2, do you think? Or is
if you see
that, that would have to be a significant two. Handle.
If go you ahead. See a book go below 2, that's the you remember Batman. When he would put the bat signal out, Commissioner Gordon would say, put it out here. We need you. That's the bat signal to go get the San Francisco money because we're really overloaded and we don't want to get too crazy with it. But no, they know now, every guy in town here knows that they can go below 2, either 1.5 or 1, and get whatever San Francisco money they want. And don't forget, that Bay Area money's coming down. It's already started.
Oh, yes.
This place is not far from San Francisco by flight or by driving or even people in SoCal that are Niners fans. Arizona, they're coming up. They're all over the place. So think about 2020, the year before COVID, was Niners Chiefs.
We were
sitting out west taking nothing but Niners money while the books back east were taking the Kansas City money. And I was talking with guys back then while I was still in the room in the book, going, fly some of those people out here and let them bet Kansas City because they weren't coming. They didn't come.
Yeah.
And then it came the day of the game. That's the way the Kansas City money will probably come here now because the game's here. So,
yes.
Right. We'll see. I can't wait, Joe. It's going to be good. But, like, the basketball takes a secondary, stance
weekend.
And the Pro Bowls this weekend. I'm wearing the All-Star jersey for the NHL. I got the skills competition. Are you still paying attention to other sports?
Yeah, of course. Somebody's got to bet on Niagara St. Peter's. They're not going to bet on themselves, or maybe they are. I do know 149 games tomorrow in college basketball, so it's going to get really interesting. And the first weekend that we haven't had football, any NFL, since back in the beginning of September. So it's been a minute since we've had a weekend where there's nothing else, and now we got to get ready for one more week and a whole lot. You mentioned the prop handle here. I would imagine that is going to far outweigh the handle of side total, anything else, I would imagine. And what's the limit right now on the props? I mean, what are you seeing guys can get down with?
Typical limits on a lot of the props, 2 dimes. This week, and then if we get closer, you may be able to get 5 dimes per prop per number. So that's a fair limit on a prop, you know, whether a guy
big time,
you know, is going to get over under 37.5 receiving yards, or, you know, 5.5 receptions, or any of that stuff. I don't know, man. Like, tomorrow is one of the hardest days of the year to work in the book, and next Saturday, the same, because of the menu of basketball. Incredible games tomorrow. I mean, Houston's playing tomorrow. UNC and Duke is playing tomorrow. Yeah, Houston's playing Kansas. I mean, like, top teams are all playing against each other. Kentucky's playing Tennessee. And they're lost amidst, like, the Northeastern and Fairfield games and all these other – like, there's so many things. And everybody that comes up to the counter – you were talking about not going to the counter last time on Monday when we did the show. People come to the counter, they don't even know what they're doing. So, hey, I want to bet this game. What time should it start? I don't know. Who are they playing? I don't know.
Thank you.
Okay. First half? I think so. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Then they go, all right, I want to bet, Patrick Mahomes under passing yards. All right, what's the bet number? Where do we – I don't know.
What's the Nobody no, knows. I have no idea. Of course not. They don't know. They have no idea what the number is. I have no idea where. Yeah, no, we have a pretty good idea that you have no idea. And bless those guys working behind the counter there, because the patience of an absolute saint dealing with first time counter folk. And it's like, just download the app, dude. Just download the app, dude. Yeah, and you can take as much time as you want. Just take as much time as you want. You're good. You are good. Now, you mentioned the NHL, the All-Star weekend here coming up. Any buzz? How are the festivities? I know I saw Gabe complaining left and right. Not impressed so far with what's going on here. Why are they losing this momentum here?
Such a bummer what has happened with the All-Star games in general. Like, I love the Major League Baseball All-Star game. I used to love this game.
Right.
I don't even know who's on what team anymore. I don't know how many you got to win a game, to play a game, to then get another game. And the last year I was in the book, I was like, there's the odds right there. Team Matthews, plus 250. Thank you, Jack. Who's on Team Matthews?
I mean,
I don't even know.
Yeah, right.
Team McKinnon.
Exactly.
People will come up and bet Team McKinnon because he's the best player. But he might not have the best team. I don't know. So – The skills competition is a fun watch. I don't think it's really a bettable opportunity. Mm-mm. And if you're going to bet the All-Star stuff tomorrow, bet the goalies. Forget about picking the teams. Bet the goalies. Just pick the best goalie that's going to be in the game the most, and I think you've got a shot. That'd probably take the biggest plus, too. See you tomorrow, Joe.
Dave Sherapin. See you, Liana. Good luck, guys. Taking over top of the hour. We'll close it out next year on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in as we look to close out this edition of Game Time Decisions. Want to thank you so much for hanging with us here on the Sports Grid Network. Dave Sherapin, Matty Perrault, they'll take over here in just a couple of minutes. In-game live primetime is coming your way, and primetime it is, as we've got 15 college hoops games underway with a emphasis on Ohio State and Iowa right now at the break, and Ohio State with their season and the ability to be able to get a bid to March Madness. Don't forget, they missed the tournament last year for the first time in a long time, and they're 3-7 in the Big Ten right now. A loss here to Iowa will pretty much end any hopes of getting to the dance. They're up 2 right now in Iowa, 38-36. So that is certainly a game a lot of folks are going to be keeping an eye on. Creighton and Butler coming up top of 9 o'clock Eastern time tip there. Another one, Big East battle folks are going to be looking at in Omaha there. And then the late night game will be Nevada in Reno taking on San Jose State. And again, tomorrow, 149 games tomorrow in college hoops. There is plenty to look forward to there. And we mentioned the NBA off and running here tonight in those early games, including, well, we mentioned the Clippers in Detroit earlier, 50-50 right now, knotted up there with about 3 minutes to go. The Heat are losing to the Wizards, 50-41, 4 minutes to go there. Suns and Hawks, 25-21, Hawks on top there, still in the first. And the Pacers and the Kings also knotted up at 24 apiece here. That, too, is in the first quarter. So much still to come here. No reason for you to have to go anywhere. In-game live primetime coming up. They will follow all of the night's action and, of course, get you ready for what is going to be a loaded weekend. Have a great weekend. Game Time Decisions will be back next week. We'll talk to you again soon.